This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Still moving and grooving right along here on a Thursday edition of the Burgundy and Gold Today. Linnell Willingham, Anthony Haney taking you up to 7 o'clock. Get you geared up for the start of week number 16 in the National Football League. A banger tonight in the NFC West. Rams and Seahawks from Seattle. Both of these two teams battling to be the number one seed in the NFC. And a bunch of different storylines to talk about when it comes to that. We'll preview week 16 in the NFL, plus Thursday night football in the 6 o'clock hour when I got Mike Jones of The Athletic stops by at about 6:30. Right now, though, we go out to the guest hotline for the first time this show, where we find one of our familiar friends here on the program, our pal Mitch Tischler, one half of the Beltway Football Pod. You can download that wherever you get your podcast. You can check it out on the Monumental Sports Network as well as YouTube. Mitch, what's going on, brother? How are you?
I'm good. What's a good word, my brother? How are you?
Nothing much, man. Just getting ready for Saturday, man. Opened up the show with this, Mitch. Look, Dan Quinn said it, I believe it was the Monday presser after Minnesota, that the Brotherhood could not withstand another performance like they got in Minneapolis a couple of weeks ago. What version of the 2025 Commanders are you expecting to see coming up here this weekend?
I mean, I'm really hoping that the showing that they gave up in Minneapolis was a one-off. We've seen this group, you know, not necessarily play well, but stay together. And I think, you know, when you look at playing Philadelphia, playing an in-division opponent, the same team that, you know, put up 55 or whatever it was on you last year in the NFC Championship, you know, I think you have a recipe for a group that's going to come out motivated, wanting to play hard, wanting to give their all against this Eagles roster.
Yeah. How much do you think that NFC championship game sits on the minds of the dudes on this football team? I know there are a lot of dudes that are no longer here that played in that game, but for the dudes that are still around, how much do you think that sits in the back of their mind, Mitch?
You know, had this season gone differently, I would say it potentially could have sat a lot more in the forefront.
Yeah.
I think the fact that, you know, the Commander season has gone how it has, and, you know, this is essentially a meaningless football game, at least on Washington side, outside of, you know, player development and all that kind of stuff, probably quells it a little bit. But, you know, I think these guys are prideful guys and are gonna, you know, wanna at least not get blown out by this Eagles team. And I don't know that the Commanders have the horses to keep up, but I do think that they can keep it competitive. I don't know that they have the horses to win, though.
Yeah, keeping it real, as you always do. Our pal Mitch Tischler, one half of the Beltway Football Pod, joins us now. No one else I'd rather chop it up about the offensive line with than you, my friend. Laremy Tunsil, obviously out. Seismic opportunity for Brandon Coleman. Cliff Kingsbury yesterday, Mitch, with some really glowing comments about Brandon Coleman, saying that he thinks he can be a high-end starter in this league at both the guard spot and the tackle spot. Your expectations for him this weekend, and then what does it say about BC that he didn't tuck his tail and hide in the corner when he was ultimately benched earlier this year for Chris Paul?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with for the Brandon Coleman part of it, the player himself. You know, he's been through a lot, particularly this season, with his coaching staff and group. You know, he was the starting left tackle last year. You know, then they signed Laremy Tunsil, and he's being told that he's going to move over to the right side, starts working at right tackle. Then all of a sudden they draft Josh Connerly, and now he's being pushed back to the middle, somewhere they hadn't played since, obviously, college, really. And then, you know, he plays a couple games. He was in and out of the lineup. Coaching staff decides to make a move for Chris Paul. I actually asked Cliff Kingsbury that question about Brandon Coleman, because ultimately, you know, let's be honest, who do you think made the decision to make that change between BC and Chris Paul? It's probably a combination of Cliff Kingsbury and OG, you know. So obviously Cliff had a part in that movement. And, you know, I wanted to see if Cliff had, you know, come around on BC a little bit, because certainly at the time of the benching, you know, I think that a lot of it was about availability and maybe pain threshold / injury, you know, with him. And the fact that he's, you know, kind of put his nose down and worked hard and taken over kind of that, you know, third tight end in the 13 package that they like to run away from Trent Scott, I think shows you kind of his growth. It's interesting what his future holds for him, because I think a lot of his future will depend on what happens with Chris Paul, who is a free agent, at the end of the season. If Chris Paul ends up in the De'Ami Brown world from last year, where a team overpays to take him,
right,
then I think, you know, you wish him well, and, you know, he's done well for you. And then Brandon Coleman steps in probably at that left guard position. But ultimately, you know, as much as this weekend feels like an opportunity for him, I think it's more of a, you know, it's more of a opportunity for him to show the coaching staff, you know, who he is when he's on the field and how good he can be. Ultimately, you know, barring something crazy happening with Laremy Tunsil, I don't think his path in the future is at left tackle, particularly with the Commanders. So, you know, it's just a chance for him to get on the field and get some work and kind of show that resurgence and that, you know, nose to the grindstone type attitude that he has.
Just happy for him, Mitch, that he's healthy, right? I believe it was something like, 17 consecutive days missed during training camp. They play him in the preseason finale against Baltimore. Looks good. Obviously was still nicked up in the early portions of the season. Would you attribute, like, the injuries as to why he got benched ultimately? Just the inability to be healthy, and he didn't have the play strength he needed to play the position?
I hope folks don't get too upset about this, but I don't think that he was playing particularly worse than Chris Paul, who has played well at left guard. It certainly helps at your left guard is between, you know, Laremy Tunsil, right, all-world left tackle, and Tyler Biadasz, one of the most, you know, consistent workers at center in the NFL. It makes that job, you know, that much easier. I think that ultimately he was benched both partially because of the injuries, but also lack of practice time and stuff like that. And I think, you know, I don't know this for a fact by any means, but, you know, I wonder if the coaching staff thought maybe he could have practiced a couple of the days that he sat out, and they were getting frustrated that, you know, he wasn't out on the practice field getting that work in. And ultimately, when you sit out of a practice, you know, there's every chance that you're going to get Wally pipped. And, you know, Chris Paul stepped in and played well. And quite frankly, he's given this coaching staff no reason to go back to Brandon Coleman because of how well he's played. So, you know, I do think they wanted him, you know, to be a little bit stronger of mind and work himself out onto that practice field. And even if he's not feeling 100%, get out there a little bit more. But ultimately, since that happened, we've seen him consistently on the practice field, consistently getting work in, and we've seen his role consistently increase as the season has gone. So I think that's kind of the coaching staff saying, hey, man, you know, we appreciate what you've been doing. You've been working hard. We want to catch you out on the field a little bit. They've been getting him out in that 13 personnel some, and now obviously he's going to have a big opportunity with Tunsil missing the game this weekend.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Keeping things on the offensive side of the football, Mitch, Chris Rodriguez slated to make his return to the lineup this weekend. Bill Merritt made the most of his opportunity this past weekend, rushed for nearly 100 yards at 5 yards a clip, 5 yards a pop, rather, scored a touchdown. In the final three games of the season, do you anticipate this team featuring one back in particular, or do you think they're just going to kind of ride the hot hand here?
Yeah, I think they're going to go back to that, riding the hot hand. You know, if Chris Rodriguez was a more established player, I could see them maybe going more towards Bill these last couple games to give him some more work. But let's be honest, C-Rod's been around the league for a while, but he's never been a every down back. And he's done well, you know, before this injury as the every down back, kind of getting some more work in. So I think ultimately, you know, they're going to try and figure out, you know, ride that hot hand. I don't know, against Philly, they're necessarily going to find a hot hand per se in the run game. But I do think that this Commander's offense is going to be, you know, very much try and play a ball control offense. And, you know, I don't think you're going to see a ton of deep shots down the field. So there should be ample carries for both Bill and C-Rod Saturday afternoon.
Do you think the 2026 starter at running back, Mitch, do you think he's on this roster right now?
You know, that's a good question. I could see Bill coming out as your starter, but I think there's going to be a little more depth at that position as they go into next year. You know, you don't know what's going to happen with Jeremy McNichols. You don't know what's going to happen with C-Rod. I imagine, you know, they're going to bring in, they'll either re-sign C-Rod or bring in somebody, you know, with a little more of a proven track record to work alongside Bill. But ultimately, I think, you know, they're hoping that Bill's able to take that, take that leap in the off season. You know, he saw him run well kind of early in the season and then get bottled up there in the middle, and obviously had a good game against the Giants. But is that because the Giants defense is so bad, or because Bill has actually kind of improved? And I think, you know, getting the Eagles defense twice in the last 3 weeks can help that, even if it's not, you know, the quote unquote full fledged Philly defense. There'll be some opportunities for them to tote the rock, and it'll be interesting to see kind of how it plays out. But if you had to ask me today, I think Bill goes into 2026 as your starting running back.
Which means you think there's very little chance that they go with Jeremiah Love with their first round pick. Would you be stunned if that was the case?
If this team was in a better spot, I'd like Jeremiah Love. I think he's going to be a really good NFL running back. I just think it's a little bit of a luxury pick at this point. I think that first pick on defense, that first pick in the draft has to go on the defensive side of the football. I know that this coaching staff doesn't necessarily, or this front office doesn't necessarily look at it that way, but ultimately they need more playmakers and more speed on the defensive side of the ball. That's going to be real tough to find in free agency. So your best bet is to go out in the draft and get it, particularly if you're picking somewhere between, you know, whatever it is, 5 and 15, wherever they kind of end up there. You should be able to get an impact player on that side of the ball.
Mitch, one thing that Ant brought up a couple of days ago that we continue to harp on, and I think he made an excellent point. Mikey Samuelsville's got a unique opportunity here in the final 3 weeks. CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown. Do you think they're going to be comfortable going into next year with him and Trey Amos as the two starting outside corners, and how much does this final stretch kind of influence that decision?
I think it'll play a big part in it, but I do think that going into next year, it's all going to depend on who's the defensive coordinator, what kind of defense are they running, and what kind of play calling are they, as far as whether Mikey stays on the outside or moves back to the inside. I don't know that this defensive style really meshed greatly with Mikey's strengths, and particularly one of them we saw last year a fair amount was those corner blitzes or the outside blitzes, and he wasn't getting much of that action from the slot when he was playing in there. But he has looked better on the outside than he has the inside, and quite frankly, if you go into next year with, you know, two corners on rookie deals, that opens up the pocketbooks on the defensive side of the ball to be able to pay some dogs out there. And whether it's, you know, a new safety, new DNs. Because quite frankly, if you come back next year, you know, with Javon Kinlaw and Dorrance Armstrong, you know, those two as your main two, D-line players, and then you add a high-end defensive end in the mid, you know, outside linebacker, defensive end, edge rusher, whatever you want to call them. You know, you have three really pretty solid players there, and that's the makings of a whole different defensive line and a and a different attitude at getting after the quarterback than you really had this year. And I think that ultimately that's kind of the next step for this defense, is to find some players on it that opposing offensive coordinators have to game plan for. Because at the moment, you know, opposing offensive coordinators are putting together a game plan knowing that they can go a lot of different directions to beat this defense. If you can get one or two guys out there that, you know, that offensive coordinators have to plan for, have to send an extra block or two, have to chip, have to, you know, double, have to bracket, whatever it may be, I think that changes kind of the overall tenor of this defense a fair amount.
All righty, Mitch. The NFC East Division Tournament continues on Saturday. You'll be there in attendance getting a live, up close, and personal look at it, my friend. We will talk to you soon, brother.
Listen, I'm excited. 2 weeks ago, the Commanders-Vikings games went 2 hours and 40 minutes. Last week, the Raiders-Eagles game went 2:31, I believe. If both these teams commit to the run the way that I hope they do, this game could be over in about 2:15, and bing, bang, boom, we can move on to the rest of the NFL slate.
Get on and have a good Saturday night. Mitch, appreciate you as always, my friend. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks so much.
That is Mitch Tischler. Make sure you check out him and J.P. Finley, Beltway Football Podcast, on the Monumental Sports Network. You can download it wherever you get your podcasts. They are on YouTube as well. It's the season of giving. It's Jayden Daniels' birthday. We've been in a celebratory mood. When we come back, we're going to put a spotlight on the veteran leader of the Washington Commanders accomplishing a really cool feat earlier this afternoon. That's next on the Team 980.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.